Hi, this is Randy Eccles on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS, and this is Community Voices. We're joined today by Cinda Klickna. Good morning, Cinda. How are you?
I'm just great. Thank you, Randy.
Cinda does a variety of things in the community in the past and currently. And just to get started, Cinda, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was a teacher in Springfield for many years. I also served as the president of the Illinois Education Association, 135,000 teachers and support professionals across the state. I've been retired for 3 years. I've been a freelance writer since the early 1980s and continuing to do that and serving on quite a few boards right now.
I understand there's an event you're working with that you're pretty excited about that's coming up. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, and I think it's appropriate. You're doing your program about getting to know neighbors and getting to know things that are happening. And the Dana Thomas House Foundation is hosting a free webinar on October 28th at 7 p.m. called Down the Street and Around the Corner, Zooming in on Susan Lawrence Dana's neighbors, 1902 and beyond.
And the Dana Thomas House, for those who don't know, is the Frank Lloyd Wright designed house here in Springfield.
Correct. I serve as the education committee on the board, and we acquired some houses directly across on Lawrence a few years ago and got very interested in, well, who were these people who lived across the street from Susan Lawrence Dana, watching this tremendous house being transformed by Frank Lloyd Wright? And so the committee has done a lot of research on who these people were and have come up with some very interesting people who had an impact on Springfield.
So there are some stories around the story. Any of them that stand out to you?
Oh, there are several. There was a man, Christopher Columbus Brown. He was an attorney. He married Betty Stewart, who was the daughter of John Todd Stewart, who was Lincoln's law partner. And after Betty died, only at the age of 30, he then took their home, their former home, and turned it into the Betty Stewart Institute, which was a school here in Springfield for over 70 years. And it stood at the corner of Jackson and 4th Street across from the governor's mansion. And he was an attorney and was part of what later became Brown, Hay, and Stevens law firm. So I just find it very interesting, the, you know, connection. John Todd Stewart lived along 4th Street, and they lived across, he met Betty, and then they have the institute there. So basically our webinar is focusing on Lawrence Avenue and 4th Street. So that's how you get down the street and around the corner of who some of these people were. We have come across 3 lawyers, a judge, 2 educators, 8 shop owners, a postmaster, 2 druggists, a doctor, a veterinarian, a grocery owner, a man who managed the dairy, a bookseller, an engineer at the Orpheum Theater, and a person who worked at the Department of Highways. So there's just a variety of people, and we are going to have photos and stories about them, but also about what Springfield was like in 1902. And we have dug through Sangamon Valley Collection and found lots of photos, some of the people, some of the stores, just some of the shots around town.
How would you portray what you've learned about that neighborhood in 1902?
I think it was a microcosm of the city. You have a lot of different kinds of workers. You have people who are engaged in owning stores in downtown, and we have identified exactly where their stores were. We're going to have pictures of what you might see there now. Some of these buildings still exist. Some there are parking lots. I've always loved doing historical research about Springfield, and I have been writing about the Dana Thomas House and Susan Lawrence Dana since the early 80s. And I've always been fascinated by her and the house. And this was a way to kind of look across at other people and what they were doing at the same time that she was hosting lots of parties in her house and so on. And, you know, some of the women in the area were her friends and came to her house for afternoon teas and big events, or participated in the Springfield Women's Club. Just as we have today, people going off to their own jobs and women involved in different, their own jobs too, but activities in the community. There are just some really interesting people that have surfaced.
Springfield attracted some pretty interesting people back then, and it continues to do so. Now, are you a native?
Well, I moved here with my family, of course, when I was in seventh grade. So basically, yes. I found it interesting that one of the neighbors was actually the principal at Springfield High School back in 1902. And I graduated from Springfield High School later, obviously. And as a teacher, and then I discovered there was a teacher who lived on 4th Street and taught sixth grade at McClernand Elementary School, which is a totally different building than what we have today.
A variety of people have different reasons they stay in Springfield. Sometimes in Chicago, the understanding of Springfield is not as positive as I think it is for most of us who live here. What is it that's kept you here over the years?
Well, family. Graduating from the University of Illinois, there was a teaching position open. So, and my husband was a teacher, and there was a position open for him. So we came back here. You know, I hear a lot of people make comments about Springfield, but I think Springfield has a lot to offer. You have to maybe look for it. It's not just right out in front of you sometimes. But, you know, when you look at the historical sites we have, the Carillon, the Lincoln Memorial Garden, you know, the lake, you can go on and on. I think that there are a lot of major pieces here that people should visit. It amazes me that even people who have lived most of their life in Springfield have never been through the Dana Thomas House. And this is such an incredible house with its art glass and, you know, 16 levels and just a unique use of space. And it doesn't matter whether you go take a tour in the morning, the afternoon, or even evenings when that's offered. It has a different look every time.
Is there a reason she located near the railroad?
Well, actually, the Dana Thomas House is on the property where her father had. We're not sure if he built a house there or he remodeled a house that had already been there. And yeah, there's a lot of speculation of why did she stay on that corner and have Frank Lloyd Wright transform that Italianate house into this prairie design. We don't know for sure, but we think partly it was that the railroad was there and she was known to take the train to visit friends in different parts of the city or state. And she was very active in politics and would go to the Capitol and lobby for education, for women's rights. Susan Lawrence Dana was friends with governors, especially Governor Dineen. And of course, the governor's mansion is right down the street. There are stories and newspaper articles talking about when the Dineens came to her house and when she would help host something at the mansion, governor's mansion. So I think just, you know, the fact that it was, had been where her father was living, it had been where she grew up. I mean, her father moved into that house when she was only six. Maybe she wanted to stay there because it meant something to her. We're just guessing, but those would be some pretty good reasons why she stayed.
Now, the 10th Street Rail Project is going on currently. Does that mean that the rail line is going to move from by the house?
Well, we've heard that. We've heard that there'll be a bike trail put in, but I don't know when that might be. We know that that rail line has been there since the mid-1800s. There are maps that we have found that show the rail on 3rd Street. We have found pictures of some of the houses. A doctor who lived right next to the railroad tracks in the late 1800s and would have been living across from Susan in 1902. And we've kind of chosen 1902 as our starting point, although we, in our webinar, we'll go back in time and bring you up to date to now. But we chose 1902 because that was really the year that the whole construction started on her house. And we have scoured every city directory since the late 1800s up to when Susan passed away, and that would have been in 1946, to determine who lived in the houses and when.
Is this the first virtual event the foundation and the group has tried?
Yes. We had been planning an actual event in person in March, and we were going to walk through unique pictures of the house and what it's like to be a docent, some of the fun stories. I was going to talk about the five-day auction of Susan's things in the 1940s. And then COVID hit and we couldn't hold that. So this is our first virtual. It is free. We're asking for donations if people are so willing. We hope to do others. We have found so much about some of these neighbors that obviously we can't cover everything in an hour presentation. We have so much that we could be sharing about the people and how they helped really create Springfield, whether they were shop owners. And interestingly, in 1902, there was discussion about taking down the overhead wires of the trolley in downtown Springfield. And the push was to have that done before the state fair. Well, the state fair in 1902 was the end of September, first part of October. And the business owners downtown would decorate their windows because there was always a huge carnival the week of the state fair in downtown Springfield. So the fact that we found eight shop owners, you can just imagine that they are helping design what was going to be happening for the carnival and their stores, what they were offering and providing new ads for people to shop.
It sounds like State Fair is always a good time for everybody to get fired up in town to do things. That's, I think, been tough for a lot of people over the past year that coronavirus didn't allow it to happen. This is an event. These virtual events, I think, are trying in one way to help the community recover. Any other things you can see that could help the community recover at this point?
Well, I do think it's been really great that a lot of groups have been trying to reach out and find new ways to reach people. We had someone sign up for this webinar. It turns out it's the great grandson of Governor Dineen. And he commented that, you know, he doesn't live here. He lives out of town and he never gets to come back. So this is a way to keep in touch and hear new things. If people are interested, they just need to send an email to DTHF. That stands for Dana Thomas House Foundation, DTHF, at sbcglobal.net. and say you're interested, and you will be sent the link for the webinar. We'll probably have over 100 pictures and stories of some really interesting people.
How are you coping with coronavirus?
I am really so busy with the Illinois State Museum Board, the Dana Thomas House Board. I'm on a credit union board. I've helped with United Way. I've been writing articles. I have a 20-month-old grandson. I'm not a bit bored.
Keeping busy.
Keeping very busy and feeling not sorry, but very concerned for students, teachers, and parents. Because it's a hard time. It's a very hard time.
If there's something you could change in the next year, anything come top of mind that you'd like to change to make the city better?
I think in our city, we need to really dig into some big picture items. Big picture thinking. And not, just work for one aspect. Everybody right now is vying for funding for their programs, and I understand that. You know, I'm on several boards, and of course that is really needed. And I don't think it's a time to drop from really supporting key things that are happening in this city and groups that help that. So I encourage people to continue to support whatever groups they find interesting. We have a huge piece of history here, and we're just focusing in on one little neighborhood, but these people, you know, helped get things going in our city and keep it going. And, you know, this was part of Aristocracy Hill that we now call it today. They didn't call it that, but you can see the changes over time. And as we continue to change in the city, I think it's important to really have an understanding of your own history.
Is the Dana Thomas House surviving right now? Are they healthy?
There are fewer tours and with limited people. Let's just hope that that can change because, you know, we have a lot of tourists who come to Springfield and they come to the Dana Thomas House. So this is a gem that we've had, well, since Governor Thompson, who just recently passed away, really worked to have the state purchase the Dana Thomas House. And it is just an amazing site. So the foundation's goal is to help support the house, really help make sure that the neighborhood is sustained. And that's part of our mission and that's why we started looking at, well, who were the people in these houses?
You saw them do that a little bit with Lincoln Home, starting to look around and build up the area around it.
Right, right.
We asked this of everybody on Community Voices, but is there an unsung person making life better in the area we should know about or talk to?
Oh, I think there are a lot of people. I think that I think those who are trying to teach our kids right now, they're all unsung heroes because it is very, very hard. I have a lot of teacher friends and I hear about trying to Zoom and trying to coordinate. And truthfully, I'm glad I'm not in the classroom anymore. And I think about if this had happened, 15 years ago, we wouldn't even be able to do some of these things. We didn't have computers like this or Zoom. Who had ever heard of Zoom? So there, every day I hear of stories of teachers and students and parents and how they're really trying to make this work. So we all just have to hang together.
Anything I didn't ask that you'd like to give us some information on?
I just encourage people to tomorrow on October 28th. There are many more people I could talk about, but we'll keep you in suspense.
That's Cinda Klickna, board member of the Dana Thomas House Foundation, previewing their virtual neighborhood tour. down the street and around the corner. October 28th at 7 p.m. RSVP at nprillinois.org to attend. This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.